Welcome back, renovators.
Howdy, howdy.
She let me do the intro this time.
Maybe only this time. We'll see.
We'll see. Okay. I'll try not to mess it up. All right. Anyway, so in our last podcast, what we were discussing was kind of that stirring of change that God's telling me to leave. Mm-hmm. And we finally managed to pull the trigger. We did it.
Right.
So that means we immediately arrive at our next destination, right?
Not so much.
What do you mean?
I know, right?
Unfortunately, it's very rare that we immediately arrive at where we are going to go next.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's, you know, that's why we wanted to break this into another podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, most of us, right, you are already, when you know you're leaving somewhere, you're already planning ahead. Okay, this is here, this is that. I mean, I've seen, and I mean, this isn't even just in ministry. I mean, I have to speak to the women part because I'm a chick. But with that, I mean, I've even seen it where people are newly separated and we're already looking for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
We have not even grieved. We haven't dealt with what's going on. It hasn't even officially ended,
mm-hmm.
but we are already looking for its replacement. So we're already trying to create a new experience when we haven't even journeyed out of the old one yet. And we do that because, let's be honest, we don't like living in the balance. We don't like hanging there. I know, you know, people know me, if you've listened to this, Mama Joyce Meyer. She is like my person. She is like my mentor. She's never met me. I've never met her, but she,
someday.
Hopefully, I've gone to many conferences. I'm going to another one in September with some of my friends. Very thankful for that. So when we're thinking of that, I mean, she had a visual, which I'm all about. I love them. And she's great with them because it's like so easy to picture. She talked about trapeze artists. And here you are, you're swinging back and forth. You know, I've been swinging back and forth for the last 8 years in the same place, almost 8 years, in the same place, very comfortable. It's just swinging. You're good. You kind of know what to expect. Ministry is starting again. We're off for 5 weeks, then we're back again. And you're just swinging back and forth. And she talks about that you don't go to that next thing like that. Mm-hmm. There is that space where you have to let go of one bar in order to get to the next.
Mm-hmm.
But what this podcast is going to be about is that space in between where it's just you in midair.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where we really are.
It's almost like its own season. The in-between season is its own separate period of time. Kind of like in the middle mm-hmm. of everything else that is happening mm-hmm. around us. It is this moment of us kind of having to say, okay, I'm pausing midair. What's going through me? It's kind of like one of those scenes from like a movie where the whole like movie stops. He's like, so how did I end up in this situation or something like that?
Or I think even, you know, I would think about that, and we can talk about this too, is that if you're watching a program with a live streaming, it's different than it was when it just came all the time. Now with the streaming, things pause, mm-hmm. things get weird sometimes. You got to restart things. But many times it's like it can pause in a really awkward place. Mm-hmm. And so here you have on the screen some freaky looking face or the person's and you're like, that's just how it's frozen. And you could stare at that for the next 10 minutes if you wanted and just look at that, mm-hmm. right?
Write a whole story about it.
And so
I've done that before.
that's kind of where we are, because even in this, we have felt that, you know, attending church, you know, together all these years has been what God has wanted, all the things. And we're like, what might that even look like if that doesn't happen? Because even in all of this, it was just like, you know, conversations with Alex, you may feel that you need to stay at the church, and that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. There's not, well, you shouldn't, it's like, no, or you're not listening to God. It's like, none of that. It's like, because he is on his journey.
Mm-hmm.
We're on our journey individually. We're on a journey of mom and adult son, and we're also on the journey of carrying a ministry. So it could very well be that we end up being in different churches. Something that God has been speaking to me is that, Denise, you need to experience a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be so quick to land.
Yeah.
And again, that's my, right? That's me. That's my six on the Enneagram. I need to find my people. I need to know where it is. I need to know. Let me put the roots down. Let me get my shovel. Let's start planting. Mm. And he is, well, because that's,
I don't. Got curtains and all that.
Yes, because it's uncomfortable for me. I have never transitioned out of a church without knowing where I was going to next.
Yeah.
I've never done it. And so it can be scary. It can be daunting. A lot of what ifs can come in if my heart is listening more to the enemy or my own woundedness of saying, you know what you like. But for me to be able to say, you know what, I am going to trust in mid air. And again, please hear me when I say this. It isn't, wow, isn't she amazing? This has been a journey, right? It has been a journey, and I've had the time to take it. And I've had people outside of ministry that I could talk to that can say, you know, help me process through some of this. There's some things in my spirit that are like, this isn't okay anymore. This is not where it's supposed to be. And I'm like, are you sure? All the things. And then it was, well, when are you leaving? And there was even some conversations with people, you know, when are you leaving? When are you leaving? I'm like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't have that release yet.
Yeah.
And I think that's a difference in myself. If I can say, I do want to speak about that, because though you have heard the put together Denise and people see the put together Denise when I'm teaching class, I'm very vulnerable and very transparent. You have no idea the reactionary person that I used to be. The reactionary person, my son does. He's seen it.
I plead the fifth.
Yes. He has seen it. He has
for now.
He has seen it. He has experienced it. Mm-hmm. All of it. Because I myself was so unhealed and so scared of trying to live life in places that I was not ready to live life. But yet that's where the river of life took me, because time keeps going. We've talked about that. Our biological ages, right?
Mm-hmm.
It keeps going, but our emotional age can still be stuck. And it keeps us in a place of we deal with all that. So we've talked about time. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for you, because I'm gonna say this too. Most of us have more time than what we want to say we do.
Yeah.
We don't have to make snap decisions. We want to, because we want the misery or the pain or the uncertainty or the grief or the change to end. Let's just shove it down, move it aside like it didn't matter.
Yep.
And how can you say that almost 8 years of your life, it's just an easy thing to do? It's not an easy thing to do.
Maybe if you're a sociopath or something like
maybe.
That.
Maybe. Yeah. You're
even
like,
then
no.
You're like, man, those schemes I put together here, they've kind of fallen apart. That's rather rough at the moment.
Even exactly.
That person is going to say, dang.
Right.
A little bit.
Exactly. Right. Even if you're of a different personality like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is hard. It is not easy.
Mm-mm.
There have been many nights of tears. There have been many nights of loneliness. There have been many nights of shifting. There have been many nights of being inward.
Plenty of those why God moments as well.
All of it. So I have felt it all. Mm-hmm. But obviously I can't go into all of that. Mm-hmm. But hear me when I say it's not easy.
No.
But it can be particularly even more difficult when something happens instantly, and you have to make a shift, or someone makes the shift for you.
Yeah.
Alex, can you just like share a little bit about on that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I can certainly say my teenage years are closer for me than they are for my mom. Not calling her out or anything.
It is true.
It is true, though. One period of difficulty in my life was there was this period in my late teens where I was working a lot of my first jobs. And I had a really hard time holding on to a job. Some of it, you know, it's a whole irresponsible teenage boy thing. And very rightfully, I definitely know that I was not a perfect employee. There were many probably times when I deserved to be let go in the way that I was. But there are not a lot of jobs protection things for people in entry-level jobs like I was working. So remember, at one point, I was working at a diner as a prep cook. And I arrived at work one day, and they basically said, I can no longer use you.
Mm-hmm.
of course, didn't call me on the phone or anything like that. He didn't even really have me sign, like, paperwork, like, having me, like, end or anything like that. It was more just the thing of I'm there, and he's saying, I don't need you anymore. Mm-hmm. I remember working at the mall at one point. I worked for a shop there, and they, same thing. It was the day after Christmas, and they were like, okay, you're done? No more. There was no mm-hmm. warning. There was no any time, and so you're left there afterwards. Your head is buzzing. You're like, what do I do? Mm-hmm. I didn't know this was coming. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any way of preparing for it. And sometimes you just kind of stand there shell-shocked, kind of going like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. what am I going to do?
Well, I think even in that, you know, you're talking about jobs and things. I mean, the one was something that they were just like, you know what, this is not working out. Mm-hmm. The other one, you went into it knowing it was going to be seasonal employment. Mm-hmm. But sometimes even in that, the people are not real kind of saying, you know what, mm-hmm. you know what, Alex, you know what, we've loved having you here. Mm-hmm. You know, you're great with people, but it's like, we're done with you.
Yeah.
You know, you're done. We need you for the Christmas season, day after Christmas. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Here you go. And again, they don't even let you know, hey, don't come in. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, come in and we'll do it all. The awkwardness, the whole thing, when it doesn't really even need to be awkward sometimes. Mm-hmm. So you have those situations too, where people who are in authority don't know how to deal with people.
Mm-hmm. And actually, I can even say for the second one, she was actually very, very nice about how it was and everything like that. Because for that one, it wasn't like I was being let go because you've been an awful employee or something like that. It was just more of a situation of, I know that for our store, we will not need mm-hmm. the help that you would have here. Mm-hmm. People with more seniority, people who have done more than you have and everything like that. So we'll be holding on to those people mm-hmm. and letting you go. So
in that, I just want to ask you on this, right? So that is something that was, you could have felt of it as it's a recurring mm-hmm. because I'm in a job, now I'm not. And I think that even though someone tells you it's seasonal, we're still surprised when, oh, it really was a season. Mm-hmm. Maybe it will all change and maybe they're going to hang on to me. Maybe I'll be such a model employee that they'll let go of someone else and hang on to me. And sometimes that does happen. It but does seasonal happen. Employees usually are that. You need help, retail help, right? We all know that. But it's a mindset that you can start saying inside yourself, you know, the reactionary behavior and the negative things of saying this is not going to turn out. Next job I have, how long is it going to be for? Mm. Right. And I know you struggled with some of that.
Yeah.
Even though after that you were in a positions for long periods of time. And when it ended, you chose to end it mm-hmm. just for school or whatever, a better position. But it was like, even in your situation, like when we're talking about that of our journey, what that has looked like, and a lot of moves in places and things like mm-hmm. that, a lot of physical spaces that we live, different churches, that even that can be brought into it, right? Where what kind of negative space, Lord, we can go into if we're not careful.
And some of us are so afraid, somewhat rightfully so, afraid of experiencing that moment of hanging in between mm-hmm. the air. Again, mm-hmm. it's a thing of like a person who has been broke up with all of a sudden or something like that, immediately wants to get into a new mm-hmm. relationship because there is a lot of fear when you are flying through the air on the trapeze, you're midair. You're not floating safely there. There's no guide wires holding us in the air or anything like that. We are, for a moment here, completely mm-hmm. adrift. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I think, too, I mean, let's even look at that, even in that. You can be, right, we're talking about the trapeze artists. You know, most of the time, unless someone's really trying to be a daredevil and they're trying mm-hmm. to prove their skills or whatever, which I think is like, wow, but anyway, usually there is a net underneath, right? There is a net, mm-hmm. but there still is a fear when you are up there, all mm-hmm. those feet in the air, right? There's a fear.
People are watching as well, usually.
Because again, the trapeze artists do this for a living.
Yep.
We're on a trapeze, but we don't do that for a living. So mm-hmm. all the fears and all of the what ifs, and it goes beyond even what if there's nothing to grab onto. It goes on to what's going to happen to me right now. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of us, we don't really see the Lord as that net, mm-hmm. that safety net. It's like, I didn't bring you here to let you fall.
Yeah.
I didn't bring you here to let you fall. But let's be honest. If you're midair, mid space, you know, Alex and I are mid-space right now. We have no idea what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
What are, well, I mean,
some idea.
We do. What's it going to look like?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, one of the ideas I think with it is we go into that panic mode. And a lot of us will do this thing of like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Usually, though, God still gives us permission to start processing through some of this stuff here. And again, it's that he sometimes gives us that lovely movie moment of a pause button happens and we're midair here. Mm-hmm. And we kind of have this moment to kind of say here, you know what? I'm not just going to be reactionary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just going to grab on to the next bar that comes my way or something like that.
Right.
I'm not going to just latch on to whatever because I'm terrified out of my mind. I am so scared. Nobody is going to catch me. Nothing is, there is no possible way I'm going to last in this thing here.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have much control in those sorts of seasons.
Right. I think the only control you have is to say, I need to allow myself in a healthy way to enter the process.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still going to be unhealthy moments.
Of course.
Still going to be fearful moments. Still going to be the enemy still going to say, you know what? I don't think that was God. Or are you sure? You know, all the things that even though you have peace,
mm-hmm.
it's very hard to have peace in uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard. It doesn't even sound natural, and it's not natural. That's mm-hmm. why it's God inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's the Holy Spirit saying, I know you don't know. But the good news is, He does know.
Mm-hmm.
So learning to see the situation through, let me view the situation through His eyes
mm-hmm.
versus my own is what has been a constant reminder.
Mm-hmm.
God is not surprised. He, you know, He's not saying, oh my gosh, I wasn't prepared for this. I mean, He already knows. And obviously if He's orchestrating and He's guiding us and He's the one that's saying, let go of this.
Mm-hmm.
He's got it.
Yeah.
But because we are human beings and we want certainty and we want concrete and we don't like influx.
Mm-hmm.
And we're either going to continue reactionary behavior and immediately go and try and find somebody and immediately mm-hmm. go and try and do this. I'm going to find a new husband. I'm going to find a new job. No, that's not the right job, but I got to have something. And you can mm-hmm. just feel yourself. Well, I'm not supposed to be doing ministry. Where's it going to be? And how's it, you know? And we get all these things inside of us that we all know we've been there.
Mm-hmm.
We have been there.
Yeah.
Some of us are still there. And that is that reactionary
mm-hmm.
of saying things are out of control. I don't have the power to control them, which brings shame, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which brings shame, the acronym.
Should have already managed everything.
Or mastered everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't even think managed. It's like mastered at times, you know, should have already mastered it.
Mm-hmm.
Should have already. And it's like, how do you master something you haven't gone through?
Mm-hmm.
Yet that's the expectations we put on ourselves,
mm-hmm.
right? Versus saying, I haven't learned it yet. So we mm-hmm. want to just talk about a few points that when you're shifting, because again, there has to be a shift from reactionary to becoming people of action. But there is that middle part. There's that assessment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about the trapeze artist who isn't
over
scrambling,
and over again.
Right? Well, but if it's a good great visual, he's
mm-hmm.
not all freaked out mid space,
mm-mm.
right? He is putting into practice the things that he knows. So,
mm-hmm.
like for the like assessing for you, like what does assessing look for you right now?
So, being in the, again, as I mentioned in the last podcast, I am in my summer season right now, which is a good and bad place to be as a teacher. And a lot of people will go like, yeah, you're complaining about it or whatever. You've got all this time off. That's why you're working this job. I won't entirely say that it's not nice, but there is this thing of like, when you move into it, a lot of teachers will work summer school or they might have a second job or something like that.
You have a second job?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You will lose a lot of purpose kind mm-hmm. of in this hanging moment or something like that. And you really have to have some kind of plan of what am I going to do in this? And one of the best things you can do is assessing how things have gone.
Mm-hmm.
Again, as you're kind of like in that midair pause moment there, you can say, you know, what was good
mm-hmm.
about where I was? Because a lot of us, it can be this thing of like when a movie ends and let's say like it has a not so good ending, a lot of us will say like, man, the whole movie sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Every single bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
Ignoring the fact that in the first 20 minutes, when we didn't have any idea where things were going to go, we were laughing, we were reacting, we were having a great time experiencing everything that was going on with it. We didn't know where things were going to go in the end. But so many of us allow ourselves to ruin what was going to be a good or bad thing in the end there. But we allow ourselves to just like destroy what actually was a good experience.
And you know what? I just want to talk to you, ask you on this, because even as you were talking about it, I was like, for the average person, right? Their job does not entail what yours does. And even as you were talking about it, I was like, so you are mentally starting to gear up. You need to do some preparation. There's new curriculum, things like that. So you're starting to, right? But even then, you are going to walk into a classroom not knowing who will be seated in front of you. Our jobs, most of the time, you know, it's like they're predictable, you know. And so you're gearing up for something that you don't know what it's going to look like. You don't know what the makeup of your class will be, the challenges, the challenging students, the ones who are not, you know, what teachers are coming back, what are not. You could go back and say, oh my gosh, you know, this person's not here anymore. So all of the unexpected.
Really interesting thing as well. This is a new textbook year for us, which means a lot of my old stuff out the window. It's all gone. Gonna have to restart a lot of things. Or not all of it is gone, but this is a thing of like, okay, what am I going to do?
And so I think in that, right, if we're comparing everything to the previous and everything has to go through that lens, it can leave some negativity in us.
Oh, of course. It can
leave some discouragement. It can leave some why bother, or it can leave that was really good. I'm going to hang on to that. I'm going to bring that with. Or I want to improve on that. That was really good that started in April. And now I have a whole year where I can put this in because you're evolving, right? You're evolving as a teacher. But you can't evolve as a teacher if you aren't evolving as a person, right? So you're evolving and I'm evolving. I'm evolving in my own walk with the Lord and the different things, evolving in my, you know, my full-time job. You know, Lord, how do you use me? Where are you going to have me be? Do I need to take my foot off the gas? Do you have it all? And so we just want to talk about that. It's important to assess, and it's important to almost like stand back, which is so hard when you're in the midst of it, to stand back and look at your life. Not as you're in it, but stand back watching yourself in it. And to me, that really is assessment. Would you agree with that or no?
I would. And I think it's important to look at yourself in that moment a lot of the times as well. Because realize, really, really realize here, wherever you go next, you are going there.
Yes.
So if you're bringing all the same unhealthy things with you, you're going to have a similar experience. No matter who it is, you'll attract the same kind of people. You'll find the same kinds of annoyances. A lot of that stuff will happen. One thing that I had to look at a lot was after my first year ended of teaching, I had to look at myself and, you know, I really don't like the kind of person that I am in the classroom. I'm stressed out all the time. I'm yelling at kids, which I hate doing. But it was this thing of like, I will admittedly say I had a rough bunch my first year. My first few years of teaching were very, very discouraging. My student teaching was also very, very rough. Didn't really get along with my cooperating teacher. It wasn't a bad situation, just kind of one of those things like, man, I'm hearing all these
wonderful
things.
It wasn't what your expectations were.
Yeah, it
wasn't
what my expectations were. And of course, nothing could possibly prepare me. But when we get into it, it is an important thing. It's this expression, proverb, I think actually it's like from, I'm actually not really sure where it comes from, but it's this idea of like separating the meat from the bones. What are the good things that I can take away? What are the things that I can concentrate on and focus on and saying, you know what? This was good, or I want to examine this a little bit further before I move to the next season, before I'm already doing this next thing. How did it go?
And let's be, you know, let's just speak to that of saying, because we're not talking about staying in your head and it's all this intellectual movement. What we're basically saying is I need to feel all of the emotions. So the grief, the what ifs, the fears, the sadness, the disappointments, but I thought they were, but I thought we were, but I thought it was. We need to feel all of it. But the difference between a reactionary and a person of action is that we then begin to respond to life, mm-hmm. people, ministry, church, work, relationships, from that aspect of all of the uncertainties. Mm-hmm. And everything mm-hmm. goes through all the negative of our previous situation, which we carry with us then into the new. So then we're almost expecting things mm-hmm. not to go well. How long will it last? What's the point? Mm-hmm. Don't get too close to these students. Well, my goodness, all the, even like you, I mean, I've heard you though, without sharing too much because they're, you know, they're private things, but how students have come to you, mm-hmm. they have felt safe of sharing what's going on at home or their own personal struggles. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen with all teachers. So if you went in, and then I want to hear your take on some of that. If you went in saying, what's the point in 9 months, mm-hmm. I might run them, you know, in the hall, or they might transfer out. But other than that, they're not going to be in my classroom anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm never really going to be in relationship with them. Yeah. So what really is the point? So how do you then, because you are someone who does care, mm-hmm. you are wired in a very loving way. Mm-hmm. Also a very fun way, you know, the students love being in your class. They talk about that. So talk about that.
I guess it is this thing of you have to be able to kind of hold it and say, I'm going to value the ability to connect and say that I'm going to be a part of their journey for this part here. And when you view things from that perspective, it does change things. Mm-hmm. It makes it so that you have to kind of say to yourself, you know what? I know I'm not going to have this person mm-hmm. forever. What am I going to do with the mm-hmm. time? And it is not easy. Mm-hmm. And no matter how good of a job I do, at the end of it, it is still sad. Mm-hmm. I remember my first time that I taught, it was a maternity leave. I was there for 9 weeks covering for obviously most of you probably know what a maternity leave is. But anyway, at the end of it though, I remember literally bawling because I was so distraught at it coming to an end. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my friends really weren't understanding the mentality that I was in, because it was this thing like you knew exactly how long you were going to be there,
but there was also the hope, right? Mm-hmm.
There
that
was
maybe
also
she wasn't going to come back.
She won't come
People
back.
People were even speaking that they didn't think mm-hmm. she was going to.
Oh
and
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, what
there
do you mean?
There she is. And suddenly off I go, and like I had a really really sweet group as well. Like I had a kid bake me an entire pan of kind of burnt cookies and everything like that. I had like lots of...
Is that where they got the pillow?
I had...
embroidered a pillow
one
for
of,
you?
Yes, one of my treasured possessions is... I said it all the time in that group was whenever somebody would say something weird or creepy, as teenagers are wont to do or something like that, I would say, save it for your weird fan fiction, which... I found hilarious. A lot of them found hilarious. And at one point I said, man, I say that so much, I need to get it on a pillow. The next week, a student brought in a pillow that they had embroidered on the back and they had written on the front of it, save it for your weird fan fiction. Still in my room. Best part of the pillow is that they misspelled the word fan fiction. So it's fan fictin. I love it so much. Treasured memory and all that. But it is this thing of like mm-hmm. really bonded, which made it really, really tough at the end. Mm-hmm. And so I can say that part of me probably reacted with that. I adopted a lot of sarcasm. Mm. And that is what made my first year so rough was, I'm honestly just kind of looking at this now a little bit, I kind of kept myself guarded in that there. Mm-hmm. Part of me was like, I still connected and everything like that. But part of me was also ready to hold back, ready to be defensive, ready to, let's not get too attached here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is such a good example that mm-hmm. goes out of, you know, just everyday life, you know, our different, just the different jobs, you know, mm-hmm. just all of it. And I think it's just important because, again, we do begin, there's a difference in guarding your heart and putting your heart in lockdown. Mm-hmm. There's a big, big difference.
Yes, or as I heard Lisa Bevere said, that some of us put our hearts in prison.
Yeah.
Fully just locked away and everything like that. That is not a healthy response to emotional damage. Mm-hmm. It is also not a healthy response to let ourselves become completely awash in the emotions and the experience of it. Mm-hmm. Experiencing it is important. Mm-hmm. But again, that's not action. That is not purposely looking at it. It's like the lady from Great Expectations who had her proposal turned down and she spent the rest of her life in a wedding dress.
Yeah.
Old lady there sitting in the yellowed, disgusting thing. She had not washed or anything like that, but could not move on.
Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you too, just in myself, as I'm a very loyal person. That's just kind of who I am. That's how God has wired me. And so even in this process, the first thing that it was like, Lord, I don't want to let you down. Am I hearing right? Things are beginning tough. Things are inside of me that I'm like, there's this like friction starting inside of me. There's like, Lord, what is going on? But I need to make sure that it's you that I'm hearing, right? So then it was like, okay, it is him. Then I was like, oh my gosh, the people that have come to me, I've taught to hundreds of people, mentored a lot of them, been on phone conversations, went for coffee. There's a Dunkin' Donuts by my house that I'm like, I need to put a little shingle out there because they haven't had the comfy seats there. Have spent so much time in those seats with people. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want them to think that I'm leaving them. So then I had to grieve that, right? And then I had to grieve, how am I going to tell the team of people that I have been involved in their life? They were strangers that began their own journey. I saw such growth in them. They became part of the ministry. How am I going to tell them that I'm moving on? And not from them. Do I feel like I'm letting them down? That I should still be? And it's like there was this huge process where the Lord just walked me through it. And again, crying, talking, and again, having people in my life. And that's one of the things I want to talk to you about here on here. We have four different points of perspective. I don't necessarily even consider them steps. It's just different pieces of it that as we were kind of just scribbling some things down on paper, in a notebook though, not on an envelope, in a notebook of what do we want to talk about. And so the first one is that God is in it and for us, even in, yes, I'm going to say it, the what the freak moments.
Quick sidebar here. I will never forget. I was driving
He's going to uncover, but that's okay.
Yes, it's great. So I was driving to my aunt's house and my mom was texting me. I read it at a stoplight. I was waiting for a left turn, so I was not texting and driving and all that before some of you in the comments start going or something like that. But anyway, she texted me WTF.
Yes, because in my mind, that is not even a word that, so for me, I had already substituted that, but I'm known in the family of saying it's freaky, what the freak moments, all the things, but he's like, do you know what you just texted? I'm like, what the freak? And he's like, that's not what it is.
We won't say what it means on here, but we all know what it means. Yes, but so go into the humor. What the freak moments there. What is that exactly?
Well, the what the freak moments, you know, because it's like, what is happening? And we have to begin asking really that, what is happening? Because sometimes we think this is a really good thing, you know, in the situation. It's helped so many people. Why are you changing this? Why is this ending? Aren't you for these people? Don't more people need to hear? What do they get? You know, all the things that just happens. And we can either go through that or we can go into the direction, the action, the taking a pause, stepping back, assessing, saying yes. Just like God was in it in the beginning, God was in it midstream, and God is in it in this season, right? He's in it in this season. And this path, this ministry, this is something I do hold near and dear to my heart because it changed my life. It changed my life. it transformed my life. I am not the same person. People who knew me back then and know me now, when they've spent time, they're like, Denise, you were like a totally different person. Mm-hmm. One of it is the confidence level, mm-hmm. because I did not have confidence.
Yeah.
I was so wounded, so inward, so awkward. God had to heal all of that to even do a podcast sometimes or head up a ministry. I'm like, are you sure? It's me. I'm not one of the person. Oh, I got it. Yeah, let's just do this. Let's make something slick and let's just do. That's not me. I'm like, it's me. Because of my journey,
mm-hmm.
I'm not the front and center person, but that's where God keeps moving me, because that's what he wants. But also he knows these are things inside of me that need to heal. So we can look at it through different lenses. We can say, mm-hmm. what are you doing? Or I don't trust you. Or we can say, I don't know what you're doing, but I know it is for my good.
And I know you're here.
I know you're here. I know you're in the midst of this.
Mm-hmm.
And because it is coming from you, not because what others have decided or I've decided, it's coming from you.
Mm-hmm.
I need to sit on that potter's wheel that talks about in scripture,
mm-hmm.
and let him continue to mold me.
And kind of going off of that then is, outside of having God there, because of course, any situation like this, you want God there.
And that needs to be the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be the first place.
But after that, it cannot just be a one-on-one talk with mm-hmm. God. It's important to seek out wise counsel.
Yes.
I just heard a sermon. It was actually yesterday at the time of recording this here. They were talking about how after King Solomon died, his son was going to starts like his kingship and everything like that. And people came to him, had this big request, and he was unsure of what to do. So he went out and he sought out people from his dad's generation, was like, hey, what do I need to do here? They gave him some advice. He went to then some of his friends who had grown up in the same generation as him. They gave him some advice, and it was bad advice.
Mm-hmm.
He went with the bad advice. And this caused a humongous rift in the kingdom, humongous things. I'm assuming many of you have read the Bible or something along those lines. But if you haven't, know that things were very chaotic in the Israel.
In the scriptures.
Yeah, it's just chaotic for years and generations and generations. And so what we say in this is, when you have made a decision, when you are in this moment in the air, who are you talking to?
Mm-hmm.
Are you surrounding yourselves with people who are going to speak life to you?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you in a comment section harping on and cathartically saying like, oh, you should do this and that, and here's a great way to take revenge on this thing here, or mm-hmm. I'm going to show everybody, and you have people rooting you on. It's just not
exercising your rights.
Yeah. Exercising your rights, all the things there. And it may feel good in the short term, but is it bringing you to a good mm-hmm. place? So learn to have people around mm-hmm. you in those moments who are actually going to mm-hmm. help you out. Listen to good things. Don't immerse yourselves always in this thing of, it may feel good to read somebody else's post about, this is how I left my job, and oh, it felt so good, and everything like that. Is it building you to where God wants you to go next?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that those are those moments where you're like, I'm either going to be in the reactionary, or I'm going to be people of action,
mm-hmm.
because emotionally charged posts, emotionally charged sermons
mm-hmm.
that rile people up in a negative way, that isn't how Jesus walked this earth. He just didn't. It's mm-hmm. not in the scriptures. He wasn't combative. Losing my voice here, guys. He wasn't combative. He wasn't, do you know who I am? Do you know what my rights are? Do you know what I could do to you right now?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what my father wants? I mean, he wasn't like that. And what's important is to understand mm-hmm. that going about the Father's business,
mm-hmm.
or going, which really the Father's business is how you're living your life, where you work, how you parent, what kind of a spouse you are, mm-hmm. what kind of a family member you are, how do we handle hurt in each other's lives. That's going about the father's mm-hmm. business, because he has work for us to do, even within our own families.
And that might require you to change some.
Yeah, it might require to change some. And that's why it's important for you to have other people that aren't part of the scenario. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a spiritual director. I know that Alex just recently got one. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, though we can hash a lot of things out, he needs his own people. I need my own people. It's just so important. But people that can look at it without all the emotions mm-hmm. and the experiences and hearing one side of it, all of it, of just listening to that. So then we go from managing and survival, mm-hmm. right, to changing, which is thriving.
Yeah.
You know what? We have to learn different skills mm-hmm. and we have a choice. When I say have to, we do. It is a having to. We have to be able to say, I am choosing.
Yeah.
I am choosing to process through. And if you mm-hmm. don't process through, it is still stored inside of you.
Yep.
The enemy is still going to try and come.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you are saying, no, that is not the way of the Lord. That is not how he would be towards me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want me to think, enemy, or that's what my own brokenness still does, where you can get on your own and say, you know what, the poor me syndromes or the victim mentality, or why bother? Other people can. I guess it just isn't for me. And we think about those things, and that doesn't lead to changing. Changing is what leads to transformation.
Yeah.
And transformation is what once looked like this is going to look like this. I know one of the reasons that I loved the Renovating You was because we don't get do-overs in life,
nope.
but we can renovate. And I love even in the scripture where it talks about rebuilding the ruins.
Mm-hmm.
There was ruins in our lives that he's not saying we're going to just annihilate it all, take it to the ground, or dig it out from underneath it. It's like, no, how are we going to rebuild mm-hmm. these to where it will look different?
Yeah. And the last point that we will leave you with here is remembering through it all that this is for our good.
Yes.
No matter how bad it is in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Our hope in Jesus is always that he's bringing us mm-hmm. to the next place that we're supposed to be at.
Mm-hmm.
That this is not a situation where we have been purposely led through something horrifically. We will not for even a moment say that bad things don't just suddenly happen to
people. Yes,
they
do.
But if you have left, remember there was a reason that you did.
Mm-hmm.
You were not experiencing life. You were not experiencing what the Lord had for you in those moments there. And we don't say this. Hear us when we say this. We are not trying to make light of tragedy.
Right.
We're not trying to throw glitter on top of a pile of garbage and saying,
put the bow on it. Yeah.
Yeah, put a bow on it, tie things up nicely, and say, all things work for his goodness. And no. We're here to say that it is okay for you to believe as you are in this moment of transition.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, just maybe, what God is bringing me to mm-hmm. is going to be something better than what I've had before. That life on the other side of the trapeze is mm-hmm. going to be a good thing. That it's not going to be this horrific experience filled with fear and all kinds of horror,
mm-hmm.
that maybe, just maybe, this was God's plan the entire time.
Yeah, it still is God's plan A.
Mm-hmm.
There's never a plan B for God.
Mm-mm.
It is always redeeming plan A. And to remember that no matter what your story is, no matter what your journey is, you know, a lot of my story, as I've shared on the podcast, you know, and so with it all, to just hold the tension
mm-hmm.
of transition,
yeah,
that mid-air
mm-hmm.
and we're going to end today, kind of moving into next week, but we just want to let you know that you do eventually, like, right, land, you do eventually, And we're going to talk a little bit about that next week, even though we still don't know what it all looks like, but we can even talk about the podcast and all those things that we've been processing through about some of that. So we hope this has been beneficial for you.
It's been beneficial for us.
It has, because it's about us too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We're still healing, still growing. God is still molding us. Mm-hmm. So we leave you in a good place, even though it's an uncertain place. Uncertainty is still good. Mm-hmm. And so until next time, renovators,
see you later.